It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the first of our five summer Laker Hockey Talks. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And Damon, I guess the first thing to hit on before we get into the schedule, because the schedule's out now and fans are always interested in where the games are and who we're going to be playing against, et cetera. But, you know, we got to talk a little bit about some of the guys who have left this program because they're important players. Diego Cuglietta goes out of here leading the nation in goal scoring with 25, 41 points on the season. Anthony Nellis had 15 goals. Gage Terrell had 7 and 25 points. Out the door goes Steven Ruggiero and Nick Kossoff. They all graduated, and, you know, matriculation's part of college hockey, and you lose players, and now you got to bring in some guys to replace those. But 53 goals and 110 points are gone off this team. That's going to be tough for the coaching staff to make up for that or even come close.
Yeah, well, a tremendous class. They left this place and that jersey in a much better place when they got here, and that's what we task our guys to do. You know, will it be easy? No. I think we have the team in place for our next group to do the same thing. You know, next year's seniors will be asked the same thing, to make Lake State better than when they got here, and I think we can do that. But yeah, there'll be some tremendous holes to fill there. I think certainly when you look at those three forwards that you mentioned, they brought a lot this year on and off the ice. Will it be one guy replacing those 25 goals? You know, maybe not, but I think we have the group to do it. Some incoming guys will chip in and help, but the guys returning and coming back, you know, they'll have to elevate their game and step up. I think, you know, guys can do it. You know, Humitz and Gelsinger, you look at the year Brendan McKay had, Brian Basilico, they can take steps forward as well. Certainly guys like Owen Guy sitting there, Ian Johnston, some guys we need to contribute. Miro Muka, you know, we think has a lot of potential as well. It's always a concern because you're always worried about everything basically in the program, and that's going to be real key how we replace that for sure. You know, Steven Ruggiero was very good for us as well. Obviously, you know, we returned the rest of our D-core, so it's only one guy, but he provides a lot of things away from the rink that you don't see away from the ice surface, I guess, just in terms of his how vocal he was. He brought a ton of energy to our locker room and to our program, and that'll be part of what goes out with Steven as well, but a real good player for us. And then the year Nick Kossoff had. He had a tremendous year. Was recently just named to the All-District All-American team as well. Just a tremendous student athlete. And, like Nick, you know, we want our seniors to have their best year, you know, their best year in their careers here at Lake State. Nick was a great example of that. Just had a tremendous senior year. I think it was 17 wins and was really, really good, really consistent. I think Zach Sizek did a really good job with him, and Nick put the work in there. So, again, I think Merricks and Roman are ready to take a step and to replace what they did. It won't be easy, but, we feel good about where we're at behind those guys exiting our program.
Yeah, we do have 14 forwards returning and some good names there. I think Max Humitz had 16 goals this past season and 33 points. We would expect Max to be a goal scorer and a leadership person points-wise on this team. Braden Gelsinger had a great season. For one thing, Braden stayed healthy all year, which is a big key for him. He'd been hurt his first 2 years for at least part of each year. And I thought he was really good this past season. He really stood out at the GLI and various other times during the season. And, you know, a good year. I thought Hampus Erickson stepped it up. Brian Basilico, you mentioned he had 5 goals. That's good for Brian Basilico, and he'll have to step it up even more now. And Ashton Calder, for a freshman, he had 5 goals. We would expect some good things out of him, too.
Yeah, and Ashton, he's around. We get to see him every day, and he looks great. You know, I think this is he's understanding a little bit more what it takes off the ice, the commitment level. You mentioned Braden having a good year and being healthy. You know, Natalie Reynolds and our athletic trainer, Nate Williams, our strength condition coach, deserve a ton of credit. They did just a great job with our guys off the ice in injury prevention, strength and conditioning, all those areas, and that showed for guys like Braden, for guys like Brendan McKay, so they can take steps. There's no question about it. And again, I really like this team. I think we have the ability to be as good or better than last year. Certainly, it's going to take some things to break our way and a big commitment. I think the big part will be our locker room once again. The guys we talked about the goals and what their impact they had, on the ice, but really behind the scenes is a big part of it as well. The way they led this program. program through some adversity with high character. We went through a lot as a program off the ice last year. And I don't expect to step back. I think our guys that we've talked about, a little bit already, Humitz and Gelsinger, Basilico, McKay, the senior class, Colin Sockerman, they're going to carry over the lessons that we've learned, and we will be as good or better in the locker room too, and in our commitment to each other in a team game. So we're excited. You know, it's hard to sit here, and I don't want to wish our summer away, but I know we're really chomping at the bit to get back with it and get our new group put together and back on campus.
Yeah, you mentioned the goaltending. Tenders, Merrick Smittens, Roman Bengert are back. We also have an incoming freshman goaltender, big kid with pretty good statistics, who should fight for some time as well. And we really don't know what Roman Bengert can do. We didn't really see him in many game conditions. He's got a 1,000 save percentage in the five games. He saw a little bit of action, and he saw maybe five periods of action all year. But, you know, they're capable, and I think Merrick Smittens' stats were actually better than Nick's at the end of the year. And He's had plenty of time to show what he can do.
Yeah, well, Merrick understands the big stage as well, representing his native country, Latvia, in World Junior Championships, playing USA, playing Russia. So, Merrick is a very talented goaltender. He will attend the Chicago Blackhawks development camp. I think last year was the Islanders, if I remember correctly. So there's a lot of potential, a lot of talent there. And we feel like he can take a big step. And, Roman really got a raw deal. When he stepped on campus 2 years ago, he was deemed ineligible, which we were shocked. It was an advisor relationship that the NCAA cost him the whole year. We'd never really seen anything like that, and we're really surprised. And so, he like you said, he has not had a chance to get in that group. I guess part of that credit goes to Nick and Merrick's, the job they've done. But Roman is very capable. He was the Manitoba Junior Hockey League Goalie of the Year, if you go back to his junior days, and there's a lot of potential there. And I think the motivation for him now will be off the charts, because that opportunity is there for him to grab and try to get some starts, try to gain more experience. And so we're excited about that. And I know we're going to be recruiting probably a little bit more extensively, but Seth Issa will come in and join those guys. Lake Elmo, Minnesota native, played Stillwater High School, the same high school as Gordy Dayfield. And we've known Seth for a long time, and he finally really bloomed this year. The light bulb kind of went on for him in Lone Star in the North American League. I believe if you look at goaltenders in the North American League playoffs, if you hit a set minutes of play, he led the league in both, I think, save percentage and goals against average. So really had a great finish this year in Lone Star, led into the playoffs there. He's a 6'4", 6'5" goaltender, a lot of tools, a lot of ability, probably a little bit over-reliant on his athleticism right now. And I think, Zach getting time with Seth is really going to kind of, control his movement a little bit more and get him a little bit more detail to his game, but a lot of ability there as well. So I think our goaltending group is, in terms of the depth of all three, will be, as strong as last year and amongst the best three goaltenders we've had in my time here.
Yeah, and goaltending is so important. You look at right now in the NHL playoffs, the teams that are in the final right now, you've got two goaltenders that are carrying those teams. They've both been tremendous, and it's so important in the game. And, coaches always look to find a great goaltender first, because that's where you anchor your team.
You got no chance if you don't have it, as and we've seen that in the playoffs, with great teams. And there's no question, you have to be good in that area. And different guys do it different ways. Nick was a very calm, very controlled goalie, and that worked well for us. Merrick's is a little bit more athletic, he's a little bit better puck handler. And again, Roman, we don't know, probably a little bit more like Nick than Merrick probably, but he hasn't had that opportunity to play a whole lot. So it's a position that will be strong for us. We've got no doubt about that. Multiple guys who are capable of playing and winning games for us.
Defensively, we lose Ruggiero. You mentioned him and what he means to this team, but boy, you got a lot of guys back who can play. I would think Colin Sackelman will be wearing a C or an A on his jersey this year. You got Lucas Kaibulu, had a great year. How about Jacob Nordquist for a freshman? He was outstanding. Tyler Anderson made great strides this past year, and you got Will Rydell, who's always solid, and Mitch Oliver's going to join the group, and I think Mitch Oliver could have been in on the group this past year if he were eligible to play, so we're going to be pretty good there.
Yeah, and you missed Alex Amando, was the other returner. returner.
I didn't miss him. I just didn't mention him.
Didn't mention him. You only have so much time. And you know, he got some valuable experience as well. Was very, very good when called upon.
That's right.
We think he's capable. But no, it's, I think, a real strength to our team. You know, we were one of the highest scoring groups in the nation last year as a D-Core. You know, I like the versatility. You know, a guy like Colin Sockman, who was one of the highest scoring individual defensemen as well, was also one of the nation's leading shot blockers. Lucas Kybel can do it at both ends of the ice. Jacob Nordquist, you know, a little bit smaller defenseman. He defends a little bit differently than the other guys do with their size and strength, but still a very good defender. And Jacob can obviously get it done in the offensive end as well. So we love our mix. We really love our mix. You know, Mitch Oliver, as you mentioned, we add him in. Mitch last year at junior hockey, 2 years ago, he was with us all year, practiced with us all year. We're very comfortable and kind of have a good feel where Mitch can help us and where he needs to improve. But he led the BCHL in goal scoring, and that was the year Cooper Zek was there. Zek led it in points overall, but Mitch led it in goals. Cooper's the Fair State defenseman who was a rookie of the year. A very dangerous threat from the offensive blue line, certainly a power play specialist or ability with that shot. So, you know, we think our stick skills, our threat offensively from the blue line improves with Mitch. And do you want to talk about the incoming guys at this point as well now?
Yeah, I think we want to get into some of the incoming guys. It doesn't look to me like you're going to need a whole lot of defensemen coming in. And you talked on the hockey shows late in the season about both Chase Pulaski and Mike Manera. Maybe one of those two would come in this year and the other one would be held off a while. And up front, we've got some pretty good talent coming in.
Yeah, well, since we were just talking about D, we'll start there. You know, Arvid Henriksson will join us, join our program. He's a Stockholm, Sweden native, came over to the States this year to play. Mostly here in Des Moines. He was a 20-year-old import, so it's a tough kind of spot to grab. And then at the trade deadline, moved to Austin, Bruins in the North American League. And then due to a bad birthday, you know, had to stop playing early on. So I think some people wondered what happened to Arvid. But he had that bad birthday, and with visa status and things like that, we couldn't get him enrolled or help Austin get him enrolled full-time to continue playing. Tyler Anderson hit that a few years ago, and that's why Tyler only has 3 years of eligibility. So Arvid did not want to lose a year of eligibility, and we did not want that. He's a Montreal draft pick, 6'5", an elite defender. He's got a tremendous reach. He moves well for a big man, and we also think there's some more upside to his offensive game than maybe has shown at this point. Colin Sockman was a little bit like that in Waterloo. He didn't have big numbers in Waterloo, but we saw some things we liked with his shooting ability, with his puck movement, his vision. And we think Arvid, you know, can round his game out here with them. But a big, heavy defender, values that side of the game, and, you know, we'll bring that to our program as well. Obviously, we'll get a lot bigger with another size defenseman. We lose Steven at 6'3", 6'4". We'll add Arvid in. And then the other guy who will come and join him as our two freshman defensemen at this point would be Michael Manera, the Toronto native. Mike also spent, you know, a year and a half in the USHL and went back home to the Ontario Junior Hockey League this year. Was second in his team scoring this year, I think, with 25 points. Mike's an undersized defenseman. He's about 5'9", 5'10". He reminds me a lot of Chris Leibinger. If our fans remember those early battles with Michigan Tech, Chris Leibinger was a very valuable part of our D-Core, getting that turned around, helping us grow into a more mobile, more skilled D-Core that eventually led us to getting Michigan Tech to one of the number one ranked team in the country. So Mike brings elite mobility, elite skating ability, has a tremendous stick as well. You know, probably the only area with Mike is, you know, he's a little bit too high risk. He's got to learn to simplify his game at times, but also an extremely competitive kid, phenomenal in the locker room, high character. You know, exactly what we want our room to be, Mike will be that. So he'll strengthen our locker room as well. But his skating ability, his mobility, his stick skills, you know, can break pucks out. He'll be a great fit for the way we play in the back end, and we're looking forward to adding him along with Arvid.
How about up front now? We talked several times on the hockey show late in the season about some of the young guys who are going to come in here, and you always say you want guys to be more than ready. I think three or four of these kids are more than ready.
Yeah, over ready. And part of that, you know, obviously, certainly the age impacts that. Obviously, they can't go back and play after they're 20 years old, so a couple of these guys are 20-year-olds. We'll start with, you know, Robert Bluger, who's been committed for a while here. Blugs is a former Shattuck player and then went up. He's a Latvian as well. He's been over in the States for a long, long time. He's got dual citizenship. But Blugs went up, left Shattuck when he was done, and went up and played Fairbanks. I can't remember, it was 1 or 2 years up in Fairbanks. Was one of their top scorers a couple of years ago, and then got drafted by Madison in the USHL. So he went down to Madison this year. You know, tough year for Madison as a team. Some value to Blugs to play in that league, to learn to defend in that league. League. Wore a letter for those as an assistant captain. His brother's having a tremendous world championships right now for Latvia, and member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So Blues is surrounded by, you know, great people. He trains with his brother all summer in Minnesota. A lot of upside with Robert. He's got good size, an unbelievable face-off centerman, you know, wins a ton of draws, really distributes pucks well and make guys around him better. So again, one of those guys that maybe doesn't get the credit he might deserve for some of the things he does offensively, and we see some ability that he has in terms of his vision, his playmaking ability that we think he can impact the game both offensively and then the D side of the puck. So excited to add Robert at 6'3", a big centerman that you like to add there. Louis Bidon, another guy that's been with us for a while here. Louis is a native of Grenoble, France. Rich had some ties to him back in France when he played and coached and back there. Assistant captain of the Northeast Generals this year. Unbelievable offensive player. Very, very dynamic offensively. Probably a little bit more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, but he can score goals as well. But he's got unbelievable vision, unbelievable stick skills to make plays. I was kind of doing a little bit of homework coming into this radio show. Louis finished the year with 68 points. He was a top 10 scorer in the league. He had 55 more points than the next guy on his team. You know, Northeast Generals had a good push late. They weren't as strong as a year ago, but I don't think I've ever seen a bigger point swing on a team to have 55 more points. So had he been on a team with a little bit more scoring ability around him, he might have led the league in scoring. But just an offensive dynamo, a guy that certainly power play ability, ability to impact the game offensively. So we'll need Louis to come in and help shoulder some of that load that we're losing here, and we're excited to add him as well. Nico Esposito-Selivanov, Nico's Sault Ste. Marie ties, Ontario, so we're excited about that. Obviously, legendary grandfather Phil Esposito and the Esposito family. Nico's dad, also Alexander Selivanov, played, I think, nearly 500 games in the NHL, another, you know, few hundred games of pro hockey in Europe. So Nico has unbelievable bloodlines. He grew up in Florida, surrounded by, you know, those names, those NHLers. So he grew up in a hockey culture. I think he was second or third on his Cowichan team this year. He got there a little bit late. He started the year in Waterloo in the USHL. Led some of those Shattuck teams in scoring as well. So a very gifted playmaker. I think he's got, you know, a real natural goal scoring ability as well. Had a tremendous playoff run in Cowichan. Led that team, had 12 points in 10 games as Cowichan upset Penticton and some really good teams. They had a great run there, and Nico led the way there. So again, a guy who, you know, can come in a little bit like Ashton Calder. You know, he's not going to have to come in and lead our team in scoring, but if we can find the right chemistry, find the right guys with him, he can have a big offensive impact for our team as well, and go from there. So am I missing one, Bill, or did I hit the guys there?
Dustin Manns.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Dustin Manns. I got him a little bit lower on my list here. Manzi's a Vanderbilt, Michigan, or a Gaylord kid. I don't know if we're going to kind of adopt him as a Sugar Island native or not, but they spend their summers and a lot of time out on Sugar Island with their place. I'd imagine mom and dad will not miss a game. They'll be around quite a bit. And again, they've, you know, spent a lot of time around our program on Sugar Island the last couple of years. But Manz has been a leader everywhere he's been, going back to his junior days, where I think he finished top five in the HPHL in scoring, captain Little Caesars U16. You know, kind of wanted to move on to junior hockey early on. So spent 3 years in junior hockey. He's one of those guys we talk about being over ready. He's a 99, but he's going to come in. Assistant captain in Prince George this year. Prince George just lost in the Canadian Junior A National Championship a day or two ago. They had a record-setting year. I think they went 15-1 through the playoffs, maybe 15-2 with that loss in the National Junior A Championship. Dustin, I think, finished top five in the BCHL scoring, led his team by a pretty wide margin as well. Just talking to a couple NHL guys about Dustin that were out at the national championship, and just saying, you know, very good player, you know, high hockey IQ, tremendous faceoff guy. He's one of those power forward molds. You know, he's heavy on pucks. He's tremendous on the wall and be able to attack off the wall. Again, high character. So exciting class. We're really excited about this group. I think I hit everybody for now. You never know. You're always keeping an eye on things, the transfer portal, other schools that are making coaching changes or pushing guys back, things like that. So it might not be a conclusive list, but I think for right now, that's kind of where we're sitting in a group that we think can really add a lot to our program.
Yeah, and it looks good. I mean, we've got a lot of returning forwards and some real good experience there. We're bringing in some really good young guys. And defensively, I like this team. I think we're rock solid back there. We lost Ruggiero, but, you know, we're adding a couple of good players there, and we've got the real core back.
Yeah, it's again, I like it. You know, you want to be built from the back end out. I think we are. Obviously, drop a little bit of experience there with Kossoff's graduation, but we know Merrick's and Roman are ready and Seth coming in, so we like that group. Again, D-Core, when you return five of your top six and, you know, another guy like Alec who played games and was very right. valuable, Mitch Oliver with us all year, that's really going to be important. You know, I'm not sure. I think we finished about top 15 in team defense. We need to jump into top eight in with our back end. I think that's a realistic goal. You know, we don't want to fall far in scoring either. You know, there those question marks because of what we lost and the roles those guys had. Even Steven, who had never had a goal coming into the year, had six goals this year. So he ended up impacting the team offensively as well. But we got a chance to be really good again and even better. You know, I think the opportunity's there. Schedules, we'll talk about that coming up here, but it's a great opportunity that way as well. So it's a team on paper that can be really good. We got to recreate that culture and that team bond that we had this year. And that's a big focus for us this offseason, working with our leadership core and working with our team to get back to that same culture.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're going to go a little bit long with this show. Usually Laker Hockey talks about 20 to 25 minutes in duration on a Thursday morning. We're going to have five of these shows over the course of the summer. We'll have one in June, about the third Thursday of June. You can look for that show, and they're always podcasts. You can listen to them at your leisure. Once we get that podcast up. And we're going to take a break here. We want to thank H&R Block and Parker Hardware for sponsoring again. And we'll hear from them and we'll be back. We'll talk schedule on Laker Hockey Talk right after this.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the second portion of Laker Hockey Talk this morning. We're going to get into the schedule right now. It's very interesting, Damon. I think you did a good job with this. It's tough. It's a very difficult schedule. You look at some of the games we've got here and some of the teams we're going to play against, but that's what you want. You want to play good competition. We're going to start it right off with Merrimack. Scott Borick returning to the Sioux for the first time since he coached here. He'll bring Merrimack in here on the 5th and 6th of October. Then we're going to play Denver, which is always a good hockey team. They owe us a series. They're coming here on the 11th and 12th of October. And then we go for non-conference series to Michigan and to Notre Dame. And that'll be tough before we get into Ferris State at home the first game. But we kind of alternate after that, which is really good. We kind of play home and away most of the season. There might be two games away in there in Alaska, but we also have two games at home later on in the season, two weekends in a row. So it's going to be a good schedule for the fans, and it finishes up at Ferris State, as we almost always do. It seems like that's tradition, but a lot of great games in here and a lot of tough teams.
Yeah, well, a tremendous schedule. Like you said, I think great for our fans and great for our team. You know, I think we're built to handle this. It's obviously a very difficult non-conference schedule out of the gates there, but like you said, that's where you want to be, to see where we're at and to prepare us for the WCHA play, which, maybe not the name recognition sometimes as a Michigan, Notre Dame, Denver type thing, but we know in this league you have to play every single night and be ready to go or you're going to take a loss there. So we feel like we'll be very prepared. That Merrimack series is going to be interesting. You know, it's obviously year two of Coach Borick out there, and I think they got a huge class coming in, 12, 15, something like that, freshmen. So we're going to see a very desperate team and team, playing to change that culture and get going there. So that'll be interesting, and that's a Saturday-Sunday series just with the national start date, so a little bit of a different look there that way. And then Denver in for Great Lakes State weekend, and You know, they'll be preseason top five, if not top three, or possibly number one. Obviously been one of the best programs in college hockey for many years, but certainly the last stretch, little stretch as well. You know, we had a good series out there. If you remember 2 years ago when we went out there to start that series off, we had an early lead, and then we ended up losing Sacco and Kybel, and, you know, couldn't hold on to that, knocked them off in their building, and they might have been number one that time as well. But that's going to be, you know, we're going to learn a lot about our team, and it's going to be an unbelievable weekend for our fans to come up and, you know, have one of the best programs in college hockey in our building. So we're excited for that. And then certainly hit the road, you know, go down to Ann Arbor. That's going to finish up that three-year deal that we had with them where they were up here last year. We'll work with Mel and his staff to continue to play Michigan and work and get them back up into our building as well. But again, you know, they had the great year 2 years ago. Fell back a little bit last year, and you know the history of that program. They'll be looking hard to, you know, reinsert themselves among the top teams in the nation. So that'll be a great series. And then going down to face Coach Jackson in Notre Dame, did that a couple times early in our stops here. And you know, again, I think we've got a team that can go down there and look to win games and really show nationally where we're at. Again, easy no, but that's a great schedule for us to get out of the gates with. And then you know the good part about that too is Notre Dame will be returning. We're working on some details to finish that up and if we can make it a two-game series or not, because they have some conflicts with their amount of games they can play. But Coach Jackson will be bringing Notre Dame back up down the road, and so that'll be fun as well. And as you mentioned, that kicks us off into WCHA play. We're going home away. So I like it in terms of the wear and tear on our guys. It's nothing too taxing, or there's no stretch where you say, man, that's really challenging. Certainly second half, we're going to go up to Alaska and do that back-to-back. We haven't done it in my 5 years here. A lot of teams have. And, you know, you hear both sides of it. Some teams have liked it. Some teams have not liked it. We come home, have a bye week out of that. So we should be able to be rested and recovered after that. But certainly some real good opportunities here to have a great season and test ourselves amongst the best in the nation.
Yeah, that'll be early January. You're going to go up and play against Anchorage two games. And then the next weekend, you'll just stay right up in Alaska, go to Fairbanks and play against the University of Alaska. And then, as you say, Damon, you'll have a weekend off to recover from all of it. And then you really have a weekend off because you're going to go down and play the under-18s, the National Development Team program. That'll be a single game before you go to Michigan Tech. And again, we're going to be there Winter Carnival. Seems like almost every time we play there, every other year, we're at for Winter Carnival, which is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know the national game, you know, we didn't talk to Scott Monahan much about them coming up here. We liked it for our team. You know, obviously last year we went down, had a real good win against a very talented team there, and it was good for recruits. We had a lot of kids that were able to make that game and a Lake State presence in Detroit, which is obviously a very critical recruiting area for us, and then that led into the GLI championship. So, you know, having that presence down in Detroit was really good for us. So we're going to go back down there again this year and maybe look down the road for them to come back and return that game. But for us, we like being down there. It gives us a chance to get our jerseys down there, you know, some players make those games, and for us to cover some ground down there. Winter Carnival, as you said, you know, I'm not sure. I know in my head, Michigan Tech seems like they win every Winter Carnival. It's a very big deal to that campus, and they'll be sky high for that. And it's, again, you know, you look at the Michigan, the Denvers and Notre Dames going into Winter Carnival for a sold-out arena over in Houghton is a very good experience to have your guys into, prepare you for playoffs, prepare you for NCAAs, things like that. So another good weekend. And then we go home versus Huntsville, home versus Northern Michigan. Before traveling over to Ferris State to wrap it up. So I like it. We should be a rested team. If we can stay healthy like we did this year, you know, we're going to be fresh. We're going to be healthy going into hopefully another home ice situation in the WCHA playoffs.
Yeah, home ice series this year. It'll start with Ferris State on the November 1st and 2nd. We'll also play Michigan Tech at home. Bemidji State, we play home and away this year, four times there. Bowling Green, we play at home and away. We play Alaska Anchorage home and away. We play Alabama Huntsville just in the Sioux. We don't have to go to Huntsville this year at all. And we only play Northern Michigan two games this year, and they're both in the Sioux. We do not go over to Marquette to play them during the regular season. That's the first time in my memory we play them only twice in a year because they're so close. But that's the way it worked out. And I think if you're going to have to play that team late in the season, you want to play them at home.
Yeah, that's probably good. I mean, we know what happened last year, and that was a tough weekend for us. So that's good to get them in our building. You know, going to your point there, I know when I first came came in, Walt and I talked about if there's years we only play two games, let's find a weekend to play more. It's wear and tear on body, and yeah, easy to travel, things like that. The two non-conference, Grant did not want to do it originally, and now Grant, you know, is kind of understanding why we did that. So I think in the future we'll get back to typically a four-game series, and this might be just a one-year blip there, but that's the way it worked out. So overall, it's a very good schedule. I think it's interesting that first half where, as you mentioned, four with Bemidji, and they come within, you know, 4 weeks, and same with BG. So really interesting that, you know, our two of our four-game series both happened in the first half. To me, that's pretty unique. You'd probably like to spread those out a little bit, but the schedule came out that way, and we're pretty happy with it overall.
Okay, we've talked about players. We've talked about some of the incoming freshmen. We're really going long on this show today, but coaching staff's all back. I assume Mike York and Zach Sizek are back in the fold for this coming season. I haven't heard anything otherwise, and you got Natalie Reynolds back, Wes DeYoung. I don't know if Nate's sticking around. It's tough to keep people when we pay them what we pay them and they can get other opportunities, but it's important to keep a staff together too, just as it is a team.
Well, continuity, yeah, I think that's important. You know, if you have the right people, you want to keep them and retain them, and that's really critical. So yeah, as of this point, you know, I expect Mike and Zach back. I mean, they're like anybody, they need to explore opportunities as they come up and as they arise, and they're both two very bright coaches and do a great job. So I hope I have them back, and as of now, yeah, that's the plan. Natalie Reynolds is going to be moving on, so she's found a new position and will be moving on, so we'll be replacing our athletic trainer, you know, and as of now, Nate's still on board as well. He's doing a great job with the guys that are in town, and you know, a really valuable piece of our organization and team, and Wes, again, I anticipate Wes being back as well. So yeah, overall, you know, we should have the majority of our staff back, and I think that's always, you know, it doesn't take you away from the important parts of working with the team, working with the community, things like that. So we're excited to hopefully have most of our staff back.
Yeah, it used to be it was very important to test guys before they leave at the end of a season and then test them when they first come back to make sure they did some things. You can't really be there and make them do things off season, but it's important, and I think most of these guys understand that now. They're like professional players, and enough of them, yeah, I think you mentioned a few minutes ago that Roberts Blugers works out with his brother who played at Minnesota State and is now in the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. It's important that they understand how professional hockey players do things and they follow suit because they can take care of themselves.
Well, no question. And you know what? I think probably you hear a little bit about that, those old Laker teams with Coach Anzalone coming in. He was ahead of his time. You know, he was the first to do some of those things, yep. And that was a big part of their advantage. Well, now if you're not doing those things, you're going to be way behind. So it is really critical. You know, everybody's you know, doing those things. They've got the personal trainers, the skating coaches, all those things. So most of our kids who come from bigger areas, bigger cities, don't have an issue when they go back home. They can continue what they're doing, you know, that way. And again, most of them do a pretty good job, but some guys, you know, aren't motivated the same way, and you got to find ways. So that testing protocol is still important. We do a very thorough battery of tests before they leave, and we'll repeat those in the fall to make sure guys were ready to play. And not that you sit there and look at a sheet of paper and decide your lineup, but there's certainly some impact, you know, if guys paid the price and did the right things and put the time in, and certainly then we can catch it right away as well. If they're not where they need to be, maybe in cardio numbers, we can get them on the bike or doing some extra to catch them up in some areas as well. So very important part of it to be organized with your testing protocol so we know where we're at to start the season.
Yeah, before we finish up the show here this morning, I want to make mention too of a couple of other things involving former Laker players. I noticed the other day that the Italian national team won a huge game. They had to win this game the other night in order to qualify for the World IIHF tournament again next year. And Clayton Bedos, former Laker, coaches that Italian national team. I didn't know he was coaching the national team. I knew he was still coaching in Europe, but he's had quite a coaching career since he left Lake Superior and quit playing pro hockey. And, you know, congratulations to Clayton Bedos. He's a great guy. He was one of our best players back in the heyday of the 93-94 Lakers when we won a national championship and probably should have won two. And how about this Tulsa team? They tied Toledo. They were down 3-2. They went to Toledo and won a big game last night, and Stephen Perfetto had the game-winning goal in that game, ex-Laker. And they've got Stephen Canisto in that lineup, Eric Drapluck, and Alex Globke, all former Lakers playing for Tulsa. And they're heading back home now to play against Toledo. And the winner of that game will go up against Newfoundland, and I assume that's St. John's, for the championship, the Kelly Cup in the ECHL. Congrats to those four Lakers.
Yeah, awesome to see the alumni doing that well. You know, Kevin Murdoch recently named the head coach in Kenai in the North American League as well. So, yeah, it's certainly, you know, awesome to see the impact our guys are having in the hockey community or in their respective fields elsewhere as well. So, yeah, congrats to those guys. It's been fun to watch that Tulsa team. You know, Draplick and Canisto are having tremendous years in the back end. Perfetto's leading that team in scoring. So it's been fun to see them go on a run here, and hopefully they can pull it off in Game 7. I want to mention June 14th, the golf outing out at Bay Mills. The Foundation Golf Outing is coming back, or the Lake State Classic is back in town here, or in Brimley at least. And, you know, you can find that on a lot of the social media websites, or if you have questions, you know, reach out, let us know. But certainly a lot of opportunities to get a team in or to be involved in that outing, and sponsorships opportunities as well. So we want to make sure everybody knows about the Lake State Classic. You know, from here, we'll get busy with hockey schools, and that's all online as well. So we've got our hockey schools coming up. Maha Bantam Camps right around the corner, where we have some of the best, all the top talent in Michigan on our campus for a week to run the Bantam Camp in association with Michigan Amateur Hockey Association. And then the Lake State camps get going as well, and registrations in full swing. They're starting to fill up. So if you have kids, grandkids interested, make sure you get them signed up for that as well.
All righty. Lots of stuff to talk about, a lot of things going on. This is a really long show this morning. It will be podcast if you missed part of it, or if you didn't catch any of it, you can certainly listen to it at your leisure as well. Damon, thanks for being here. It's great to talk Laker hockey. We'll do it again about the third week in the third Thursday in the month of June, and we'll get into some more specifics at that time. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great Thursday, and go Lakers.
All righty. That's Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.